The Chronicles of Lancen and Sir Crisfer, Part 6, Nasty Cold White Stuff, read by the author. It was rather a pity, Lancen thought, that they couldn't have stayed here for midwinter. Joel and Callie were delightful company, and very willing to invite him and Crisfer to share the midwinter feast. Lancen would have been most happy to sit and listen to Joel tell more stories, and learn lewd songs, and to play horse for one of the twins and race the Crisfer horse through every room in the house. But knights had duties, and couldn't loaf about for a sennight with nothing to do. So Sir Cris had applied for another quest. One here might suit you. The Tower Master pulled a scrolled paper from the array in the assignment room. Bit of travel involved, nothing you can't take in your stride, of course. Seems there's been some difficulty on one of the northern demesnes. Something about counterfeit coinage. Not very clear what the actual problem is. Sir Jevonet squinted disapprovingly at his paper. But see what you can do, hm? Sir Crisfer took the paper and glanced at the details. Be cold that far north, Sir Jevonet observed. Still, I expect you'll find somewhere cosy to stay over midwinter. Sir Cris looked up and grinned suddenly. Thanks, Jev. Mind your poor tender squire's southerner hide, the Tower Master advised. He doesn't know what snow is. Lancen hid his indignation, successfully, he thought. Doesn't know what snow is, indeed. There was plenty of snow here, powdering the world like confectioner's sugar. Frost, too, that crisped the morning dew in the grass and turned spiderwebs into jewellery. Lancen was trying out augmented modes of expression this week. Sir Crisfer made him read poetry when they stayed in a tower, as an antidote to the dry, factual style of the reports they had to write, and he was doing his best to see the world as a poet would see it, but it was rather trying. In all honesty, Lancen didn't think he was meant for a poet. Sir Crisfer, for all his cynical pragmatism, was much better at that kind of thinking, and Lancen secretly quite liked writing quest reports. Now he was tolerably fluent with the pen, and had a reasonable idea how to proceed. Sir Crisfer, of course, protested loudly at this incursion into his valuable off-duty drinking time that report-writing represented, and grumbled at the end of every sentence as a matter of honour. It took him twice as long to complete the reports that way, but Lancen thought Sir Cris probably needed to vent his wrath aloud so that he could write in a suitably dry and factual style. Anyway, snow. Yes, he knew about snow. If there was to be more of it where they were going, he'd be sure to pick up an extra blanket. Lancen said an affectionate goodbye to Brown, who was now practically barrel-shaped. The stable-master shook his head when he heard where their quest would take them, and said she would almost certainly drop her foal before they returned. This was a pity. Lancen had hoped to witness the event. But a quest was a quest, and he had his own sword now, was extremely conscious of its exquisite weight against his hip. He'd only used it in drill so far, but perhaps on this quest. Not that he was anywhere near a swordsman yet, Lancen knew that, but he hoped he wouldn't be a liability in a fight. Lancen had never been so cold in his life. They'd come a very long way north in 3 days, riding through the meagre hours of daylight, stopping to camp only when dusk was upon them, and rising to break fast before it was truly light. And now Sir Jevonet's words about the snow made sense to Lancen, for there was snow in plenty here, snow up to the knees of the weary horses once they left the mostly cleared roads. When he could stop his teeth from chattering, he might ask Sir Cris how the roads were kept free of snow, but for the moment he just clenched his jaw and applied himself to the horses. Normally Sir Cris would attend to horse himself, but tonight he was hurrying to get a fire started and the portable shelters for men and beasts set up. The pack animal, Cropper, was Lancen's responsibility anyway. The three beasts safely fed, blanketed, and stowed in their hide, and it was time to eat. The exhausted and well-nigh frozen squire stumbled to the fire and accepted a hot bowl of stew with enormous gratitude. He cupped his hands round the bowl and breathed the fragrant steam until his fingers were warmed enough to use the spoon. Afterwards he crawled into the shelter Sir Cris had slung for the two of them, wrapped himself in his two blankets, and tried to be comfortable. It wasn't possible. In the brief moments while he'd checked the horses and Sir Cris had banked the fire, the cold had penetrated deep beneath his skin, and he felt no warmer than before, colder even now that the sun was completely gone. "Lance?" Sir Cris had slithered in alongside Lancen and was settling himself. "Oh, are you all right? I thought you'd be asleep right away after the day we just had."
Bit cold," Lancen muttered, trying not to let his teeth chatter. There was a groan from his knight.
"All right, come here."
And Sir Crisfer rolled him ruthlessly out of his huddle of blankets, settled him again, and spread the blankets, four now, over both of them. warm body against his back, and that felt better, but shamelessly Lanson squirmed round and tucked himself firmly against his knight, nestling into Chris's neck. Much better. "Stars above, kid, your nose is froze!" Chris protested, but he wrapped his arms round Lanson anyway. "Give me your hands. Oh, sweet grief, two little icicles!" So Chris wriggled and tugged, and a moment later Lanson's hands were planted against the blissfully warm skin of his knight's midriff. Lanson purred contentedly, even as Chris squeaked and swore. "Better?" "M," said the squire, and slept.